Hello and welcome to the Mindful Belly, Don't Eat Your Feelings podcast. I'm your host and health coach, Ellie Rowe. For today's episode, please excuse the background noise and the slightly poor audio. I am driving right now, but I really wanted to record this. And yeah, so here we go. So for anyone new to this podcast, I am an expert in breaking through sugar addiction, binge eating, and toxic patterns with food. This is something I really struggled with personally. I was a chemical engineer, highly stressed, and using food to cope. Food was a coping mechanism pretty much my whole life, and breaking through that was so freeing. And there's not some like finite place you get to where it's just like, I'm never gonna crave food again, or I'm not gonna use food emotionally again, but it's having so much more awareness, consciousness, and feeling like you're in charge versus feeling like a slave to food. And so for this episode, I wanna go through an emotional eating workshop that I give my 21 day resetters. It's actually day 21 today of our 21 day reset, and they have done awesome. Like, I'm so proud of this group. And for anyone who is looking for accountability or looking for support, I'm actually starting a group coaching monthly. So it's a monthly subscription for $99 a month that I will be coaching you live bi-weekly. So bi-weekly coaching sessions with me and your group community. You can join for a month. If you don't like it, you can leave, or you can stay on that subscription for as long as helps you. And my purpose for this is to give you accountability. So many of us know things that would benefit us in our health, but don't show up for it always because life can get crazy. We lose sight of what actually is super important, our health and prioritizing ourselves. And so this is a check-in every other week to help you get back on track, to stay motivated, to stay consistent. And then throughout the month, I am providing you support, resources. You are connected with an awesome community of people who are going through this together. You don't have to be on your health journey alone. And I think that's one of the most powerful things people learn from the 21-day resets is like being surrounded by community and being encouraged and like having a support system when you do have a slip or you have a binge, and that it gets you so much quicker out of a negative spiral that I know is so easy to fall into, and to be able to come back to your higher self, to what matters. Like, hey, this moment is new. I can choose again. Whatever happened, like, I can learn from that. I don't need to beat myself up over it. Let me be gentle with myself, compassionate with myself. And that is how we heal. We heal through self-love. We don't heal through self-loathing. That can work temporarily, but it usually backfires and ends up with more binging, more overeating, and that continuation of yo-yo dieting and toxic relationships with food. So again, this group coaching, it's starting March 2nd. It'll be bi-weekly sessions. You can sign up for the subscription on my website at www.comfortzoneretreats.com/group coaching, and I'll put that in the show notes. So that's group coaching, and let's go into the episode. So today we're going to be talking about emotional eating. Many of us in diet culture focus on solely on like, what am I eating? How much am I eating? But what's often missed is, why am I eating? How am I eating? How am I using food to cope? And when we don't address this piece, like, logic goes out the window when we're emotional. So we can know exactly what macros we should be hitting or exactly what foods we should be eating. Maybe we don't, but a lot of us know generally that eating a gallon of ice cream isn't the best thing. And so, but we'll, in a moment of crisis or in a moment of stress or a late night on the couch, that logic, knowing that's going to make us feel like garbage, goes out the window and the emotions take over. So if we don't address that piece, we'll never create lasting habit change. So what's so important is to understand emotional eating patterns. And it's not just eating ice cream when you're sad. Like, that is a form of it, but it's also certain using food to cope with an uncomfortable emotion, essentially. And that uncomfortable emotion could be not always even uncomfortable. It could be you eat when you're happy, you eat as reward, you eat for if you are feeling lonely, tired, sad, just using food when we're not actually hungry. And it doesn't mean it's actually bad to eat if you're not hungry. It's just being really conscious of what you're doing. And back to what I said in the beginning, feeling in charge of your choices, not on an unconscious autopilot loop of eating things that don't serve your body and then going into a cycle of binging, restriction, self-criticism, self-loathing, and then maybe restricting for like 2 weeks and then end up binging again. So to break out of that, it's really becoming conscious of our habits. So I like to go through basically the who, what, when, where, why, and how of emotional eating and give you some tools for this. So we'll start with the what, even though this is a lot of times focused on, but it is super important. So what are we eating? If we are eating foods that are hyper palatable, meaning like hyper processed, they are chemically engineered to light up your brain, light up your palate, and have you coming back for more, it can be so much harder to regulate our emotional nervous system. So if you can think about it, if we're eating these foods, hyperpalatable, usually they are filled with sugar, refined flours, things that are jacking up our blood sugar. And when our blood sugar is erratic, our mood is erratic, our emotions are erratic, and we become very irritable, we become very, very impulsive. And a lot of times, if you're crashing from blood sugar and you're in a low mood state, like, what do you want more of? Sugar or carbs. And it's like, I need this hit immediately. And then end up, that logic goes out the window and we end up eating. And so a lot of this is a big part of emotional eating, is getting your nervous system in a regulated state. And it's really hard to do that if you are on a blood sugar roller coaster all day long. So my advice for you here is to really focus and start looking at your labels. Simple swaps. This is the thing I preach at so much. If you follow me on Instagram, or if you've ever been in my resets or a client of mine, you know this. It's just start with simple swaps, lateral shifts in your choices, so it doesn't feel so overwhelming. You don't feel deprived. You learn these up-leveled with real food ingredients. So for example, things like dressing. So if you're eating dressings that are like light, fat-free raspberry vinaigrettes, we want to swap that, because a lot of those are filled with sugar. They're made with soybean oil or canola oil, which are highly inflammatory to the body. So we want to swap those for dressings like either olive oil, lemon, or Primal Kitchen dressings are my favorite. They're so good. They've got some other brands too, like Chosen Foods, I think, has avocado oil based. And there's other brands. You just want to look at the label that there's not added sugar and that they're made with an olive oil or avocado oil. Other swaps, things like up-leveling your baked goods. Instead of using white sugar and white flour, can use coconut flour, almond flour, and use less sugar. Use a real like maple syrup, a lesser amount. Can you pair that with some sort of extra protein to balance your blood sugar? So things like that, where you can still feel like you're indulging, but it's not gonna jack your blood sugar up and then you crash. So we really want to be mindful of what you're eating. And also with the what, we really want to be mindful of things that are maybe causing you inflammation. Because if something's causing you inflammation, it's also draining your energy, because there's your immune system's on high alert. It's expending so much energy trying to handle the immune reaction that's happening. These are things like food sensitivities, things like gluten, dairy, soy are very common ones for people, grains. And so if you feel inflamed, if you're feeling great, then this, you don't have to worry about this. But if you feel inflamed, if you feel tired, if you feel like you're holding on to weight or just really fatigued all the time, brain fog, this is something really important to pay attention to. Because I remember, oh my gosh, like in school when I was eating bread, I would eat lunch and then be in a coma, like be so tired. I'd get yelled at in class to keep my eyes open, and it felt so physically painful to keep my eyes awake. And I didn't realize it was because at lunchtime I was eating a bunch of gluten and a bunch of basically grains that were acting in my blood like sugar, causing me to crash so hard. And so to regain your energy is also going to be such a huge part to regulate your emotions. Because when we're tired, when we're exhausted, it's so much harder to make a conscious choice. So if you're running on fumes because your body's so depleted because of the foods that you're eating and all the inflammation going on, it's going to be so much harder to make conscious choices. So to set yourself up for the best success with these emotional eating is eating, choosing whole foods, choosing real food, and making it easy. There's so many recipes now. There's so many simple swaps. There's so many easy go-to grabs. And this is something I am going to teach in the group coaching and my one-on-ones and my 21-day resets. Like when on your busy days, when you don't have time to cook, that's not an excuse, that you've got stuff ready to go. And I'm in the same boat. I don't love spending hours in the kitchen. Like, that's just not who I am. I'm pretty much on the go. So just finding default options for those moments. And once you learn those, it becomes so much easier. So that's number one, the what to eat. Really important for emotional eating. Now, another thing I just want to say before we move on to the next one is a blood glucose monitor. So if you're somebody that you feel like you're erratic blood sugar, something that can be really helpful is having a continuous glucose monitor, trying that out. I love NutriSense. I've used them before. And it's awesome. It pulls up the data on your phone. So it's like you track steps, like you track your heart rate. You can track your blood sugar. You can see how certain foods affect your blood sugar in real time. So if you are, which means if you're getting a huge blood sugar spike, you're probably going to crash and feel like poop. And it may be affecting your sleep, your mood. It affects your fat storage. So you, if you're chronically getting hits of high sugar, then you're most likely getting huge hits of insulin, keeping you in a fat storage state. So if you want to burn fat, we've got to get insulin down. And so it can be really helpful to have that like real-time data. It's like extra accountability. And it's really interesting because then you can all learn also how you compare certain things. Like if you are going to indulge in something. Okay, well, I'm going to go do some movement before. I'm going to prepare my body for this extra sugar. And I'm going to pair it with protein or fiber or fat so I don't get such a huge spike. And so that's something that can be helpful. And you don't have to do this. You can just do it knowingly with your own energy and your mood. But, yeah, that's a little nugget. So I'll put the link to NutriSense in the notes. And they have awesome – I actually interviewed Kara, who's one of the founders of NutriSense. She's one of their, I think, dietitians, but she's so smart, and they've got so much data. And the episode is – I'll also post that in the show notes if you want to go listen to that episode. It's super interesting. Okay. Next – let's talk about, so we did the what, let's talk about why. I think this is one of the biggest ones out of all of these. So why am I eating? So often, I know for myself, I was eating out of stress because I was bored and wanted stimulation, because I was happy, because I was cold, like anything pretty much for myself was a trigger for me to want to reach for food. Because food was it still is. It feels a feeling of safety, of security, of love, of calm. When I'm really feeling scattered or stressed, it gives me a feeling of calm. And so learning for yourself, what are your specific emotional triggers? Or even just watching yourself throughout the day, if it's like what time, I guess that we'll come to that when we do the win, but like what time are you eating? What are you feeling around that time? Are you feeling tired? Is this like a 3 p.m. slump, so you're reaching for something? So it doesn't mean that you can't reach for food at that time, but to really ask yourself, what am I feeling here? What do I actually need? A lot of times it's, I need to breathe. So often we are eating to calm our central nervous systems, when if we could just take 3 deep belly breaths, sending your breath all the way into your belly. I mean, let's do this now. You can do this driving. You can do this wherever you are. Ready? So we're going to all take a big breath in. Breathe in through your nose. Send your breath all the way into your belly. Big exhale through your mouth. Letting go. Let's do it again. Big breath in. All the way into your belly. Push, push, push. Big exhale. Let it go. Let's do this one more time. Big inhale. Pause. Big exhale. Release. I mean, even in just 3 breaths, we can find ourselves again. If we get lost in stress, lost in fear, lost in anxiety. And that's just 3 breaths. If you are able to sit even for 5 minutes for yourself, or 2 minutes, to allow a craving for food to pass, you can just watch it and see it go. Everything is changing. Everything is always changing. And if you can even, one of the most useful tools I found is future projection. It's the ability to future project. So in the moment, being able to, when you have that impulse for food, being able to pause and first ask, like, am I actually hungry? Why did I reach for this? Identify the trigger. But continue with that. If it ends up being something that you know isn't going to serve your body, like, okay, cool. If I can, how am I going to feel in 5 minutes after I eat this? It's going to be gone. It's going to be done through my mouth. And I know for me, it's like, if I eat something, say it's like a brownie or something, I know after I eat it, I'm going to want another brownie. Like, it's like a hungry ghost. Once I eat some sugar like that, it's just like, then I want to eat it for the rest of the day. So do I want to feel like that? So it's not denying myself of the brownie. It's choosing consciously, how do I want to feel? I want to feel energized. I want to feel light. I want to feel in charge. Like, is that how I want to feel? Or if it's eating something, a pizza or something, and it's like, do I want to feel, I know that's going to make me feel bloated. I'm going to feel disappointed. I'm going to feel like, ugh. Because I know how I feel when I eat that food. Again, not that the pizza is bad or you are bad if you eat it. It's choosing consciously, how do I want to feel? Is this worth it to me? And making that conscious choice. And maybe in the moment, it is worth it to you. But then being able to slow down and eat it with intention. But that future projection is so powerful, and it's a practice. Sometimes we're in a heightened state and we're stressed and we eat. And that is okay. It's a continuous practice of being able to slow down when you have that impulse, create space, and ask yourself those questions. How will I feel in 5 minutes? How will I feel in 30 minutes if I eat this? How will I feel in an hour if I eat this? Because maybe in 5 minutes we'll feel great because we got a hit of energy and we just ate a bunch of sugar. But how am I going to feel 30 minutes from now? Ugh, I'm going to feel like crash. I'm going to be upset. I'm going to feel bloated. Like, is that what I want? Like, feel that in your body. And it's like, ugh, no, I don't want that. And it's like so much easier to say no to something. And one thing that helped me, if y'all have listened to my podcast, you know this. One thing that helps me so much is when I have those impulses, because I still get those impulses. They're not nearly as frequent or as strong in most of the time. But when I do have them, I reach for a club soda. Let me reach for this instead and give myself that breathing room and space. And I'll like drink my club soda slowly, like it's my calming water. Everything's calming down. Oof. And then reassessing, do I still want this? Is that what I need for right now? And most of the time it's no. Most of the time it's like, oh, that was just stress. I really need to just like get outside and go for a walk. And sometimes even just, again, like not denying yourself of the food, because a lot of times that backfires. It's like, hey, we can have this, but let's go outside first. Let's go on a walk first. Let's go get some sunlight. Let's go drink this water first. And then I'll see if I want this. And sometimes if it's like in your environment, like someone brings cupcakes into the office and all of a sudden this whole body excitement comes and you feel like maybe a little bit out of control, especially if you're new on this journey, it can be difficult in the beginning to turn stuff like that down. So getting space physically, like getting out of the environment and collecting yourself and maybe reaching for something. That's why it's so helpful to have stuff on you. Things like dark chocolate, things like fruit, maybe bring fruit to work, things that you can reach for, a grainless granola bar like Autumn's Gold, something that you can reach for in the moment you want to satisfy a craving and breath isn't working, or you just like know you need something to reach for that step. Okay, so again, coming back to why am I reaching for this? The question, am I actually hungry? Is this true hunger or is this emotional hunger? One of my favorite quotes is Michelle May. She talks about a craving that does not come from food or from true hunger, food will never satisfy. A craving that does not come from true hunger, food will never satisfy. And that is because a lot of times we have an emotional hunger, an emotional need. We need to feel connected. We need to feel loved. We need to feel held. We need to feel not lonely. So that connection, that safety. So there's so much uncertainty in the world. Sometimes food is like the only, there's like a known there. And I know I'm going to feel this like numbed out, safe way when I eat this. So unconsciously, it's like if you feel uncertain or you feel unsafe, it's like your psyche trying to protect you. And like, let's go find food because we'll feel safety in food. And this may not be you. This is just a common one. And so starting to learn those patterns and like, what could I do now to feel safe? Like finding safety in your body, grounding practices, planting your feet on the earth, sending your energy down to the earth, feeling the earth beneath you. This may sound woo-woo, but like we have Mother Earth, like letting the mother hold you. She loves you. She's here for you. She's supporting you. So reminding yourself of that in those moments, let her help you. She's here. What's also helpful is the practices of coming back to higher self. This is what we talked about with the IFS. The episode with Jamie Lynn Buell is so good. She's an IFS therapist and she explains this, but basically we have different parts of our psyche. We have like little child parts. You may have heard of inner children or inner child work, but this is like inner children work basically. And we have parts of ourselves that get really scared or they feel threatened or they feel maybe a potential abandonment. And we have these other parts of our psyche that want to protect us from feeling this vulnerable. And so one part binges or uses food to cope. So it's learning when those parts are online or they start to take over to be able to have practices to come back to higher self. Capital S self is the place within us that is our own mother. not our own mother, but like we are the mother of ourselves, or the father of ourselves, like our higher self. We're mothering the parts of ourselves, or fathering the parts of ourselves, the little parts that needed the loving, caring, curious, compassionate, confident, loving being. And we can give ourselves that love now. Maybe we didn't have it when we were little from a parent, but we can give it to ourselves now. So it's learning how to create space enough to know when those parts are being activated, how to talk to them and to be gentle with yourself versus berating yourself or getting angry or upset. And that's usually another part who is trying to hyper control. And I won't go deep into this in this episode, but definitely check out that IFS episode. I'll put it in the show notes. Okay, so also with the why, it's just really helpful to identify your triggers in all the ways. So maybe your trigger is someone, when someone brings something to the office, or it's like a physical, like you actually see it. So what could you practice in those moments when it's kind of unexpected? Or your kids bring home candy from school, things like that. Like what could you do in those moments? If you know that's your trigger, if you know dining out is your trigger, like you're doing great, but every time you dine out or vacation, it like falls off the track. So what's going on there? What is happening? A lot of times when we dine out, we're either surrounded by other people who are making, maybe they're ordering a bunch of fried food, and it kind of gives ourselves this permission to do that. But it's like, we always have the permission to do that. I am saying no to this fried food because I'm saying yes to my energy, my vitality, how I want to feel, my goodness, and being the example. Or maybe it's dining out that you feel uncomfortable ordering or modifying something. And I just want to speak to this because I know I feel that. I still feel that sometimes, like awkward in front of a big group asking for all my gluten-free, dairy-free modifications. But you know, those 1 minute of discomfort, and then I'm happy with my meal versus not speaking up and then disappointed in myself that I ate something and then feel like garbage. Like my body is worth eating the food that I want to eat, or asking to go to a restaurant that you know they've got options that you enjoy. Also eating before a restaurant so you're not starving, and then the bread comes on the table and it's like you're just so hungry that you end up eating it, or so hungry that you end up eating chips at a Mexican restaurant or something like that. So just by identifying your triggers, you can better navigate them versus letting them just continue to be kind of on autopilot and not pinpointing them and then dissecting them. And then letting each opportunity that it comes up again be like a little test from the universe. Like, oh, here it is. My mom's in town. Every time she comes in town, I tend to overeat. Isn't this interesting? Okay, well, next time she comes in town, what could I do? Why might I be eating worse when she comes? Is it because I get stressed out with her? Is it because she likes to eat a bunch of stuff like this? Is it because I feel like connected with her through food? So it's, and if that's the case, just like having conversations with your mom or helping her introduce new options, or let her know ahead of time that you're really working yourself because you feel so much better. And I'm sure your mom, or, you know, I'm projecting this, but someone that loves you wants the best for you. So if you can really articulate in a way that's about you and not them, sometimes other people think that when we change ourselves, we're like projecting judgment on them. Like, oh, I'm gluten-free. And then they're eating gluten. So then they feel bad about themselves. Like, so we don't want to do that. And I think that's why people get defensive or may want to pull you back into old habits. Sometimes there is that kind of unconscious. They call it the crab effect. When people we love, when we start to change, they kind of freak out and want us to go back to the way they are because it tests them. But to remember, it's not about them, and communicate if it is to your mom or your friend that you're doing this because you really want to feel better and you haven't been feeling well, or that you, yeah, or you're experimenting with something, and not even the need to explain yourself, but if this is a common cause, if that's one of your triggers of like a friend or a parent you go out with that you feel like you fall off the wagon or end up abandoning your goals, it's something to like write this down, like what might be going on and how could you better set yourself up. And then again, every time that this happens, it's like a little test for yourself. How could I do 1% better this time? How could I set myself up a little more this time to feel really good? All right, so I'm gonna post, there's this really great, I have a PDF of just like, it's called Recognizing Triggers. And it lists all these like potential triggers, whether it's like a physical trigger, like you see a commercial on TV, or it's an emotional trigger, you eat whenever you're stressed at late at night. Like it's really it gives a lot of things, and you can go in and circle those. And then I think it's so worth just journaling, even for like 2 minutes, on the ones that you circle, of like, why might that be the case? Or like, what goes on? What's the pattern? And then when it happens next time, some things that you may be able to implement, grabbing a tea, setting yourself up for going, you know, if you, one trigger I know for myself is if, like, I get so much endorphins from like running or from working out. So if I haven't worked out, then it's like my body wants endorphins. It wants like that good, happy hormones. And if I'm not getting it from exercise, then it tends to want to eat more. And so to know that, to be able to, and release stress, like that's a way of stress release. So if I'm not getting that, then it's a lot of times my mind wants to go to food for that. So even that being a trigger, and like, oh, like what do I need to have in place proactively, running, working out, to set myself up better for success. So I'll paste this as well in the show notes. The show notes are going to be loaded today. I hope this is helpful. Okay, so we've done the what, we've done the why. Let's do the when and the how. We'll do those together. No, I'm sorry. We'll do the when and the where. We'll do those together. So this is something I like to set up as like environmental boundaries for yourself. So that's the where. A lot of times we have conditioning. Once we create a habit, so if every night you're sitting on the couch eating food, your brain becomes to couple the activity of sitting on the couch with eating food. So even if you're not bringing food to the couch, the second you sit on it, you start to salivate. Your mind's like, ooh, where's the chips? Where's the ice cream? Like, because it's linked. And so in order to break that habit, what's so helpful is really having designated places that you eat, so that when you sit there, your brain's ready to eat. It's producing digestive enzymes. It's producing stomach acid. It's like, yes, this is the eating habit. Let's go. So that's at the dinner table. Maybe it's at like your kitchen bar. But then breaking the times of eating at your desk. Because then if you're working and you're chronically eating, it's like mixing your brain. You sit down and all of a sudden you're wanting to eat while you work. And so breaking those, that coupling, by creating sacred spaces that you eat and you honor your food at those spaces. Even if it's a snack, like, can you sit for the 1 minute that it takes to eat it and sit at the eating place? And this may sound a little like strict, but it's so helpful, and it makes you like second guess, like, well, if I want to work right now, I'm not going to be eating while I do this. So that's super helpful to create a little bit more mindfulness around eating. And then also the when you're eating. So something that helped me so much, because I was just chronically eating. So y'all, even after I would like switch to a very like paleo diet, because it helped me so much, I was still eating emotionally. So I was still eating, like when I was stressed, I was like eating Brussels sprouts or like chicken, and just eating way too, I guess, like excess food, because even that kind of food still gave me feelings of safety and helped calm my central nervous system. So I would find myself when I was an engineer just like eating all day long. And so what really helped me to kind of break that patterning was creating time windows for myself where I would be like, okay, my routine every day, and I gotta get to work at 8 a.m. I'm eating around 6:30 a.m. to 7:30. That's my breakfast window. My lunch window is around 11:30 to 12:30. Dinner 5 to 6. So that's like, okay, great. Those are my eating windows. In between those windows, if I found myself reaching for food, I'd look at my watch. If it wasn't that window, I would pause and ask myself, am I actually hungry? Why am I reaching for this right now? Is this true hunger? And if it was true hunger, yes, absolutely eat. And then mindfully of like, did I eat enough at breakfast? Did I eat enough at lunch? Maybe I worked out in the morning really hard and my body needs more energy. And that's all okay. But to really use that clock as a pause. And before I even, you know, sometimes it's hard to assess, am I actually hungry? Like my stomach's growling, like the physical cues, getting to know your own physical cues. Because a lot of us don't ever even let ourselves get to that point. It's like needing to eat immediately. So listening to that. And then if I wasn't sure, then it was like, okay, let's wait 5 minutes. Let me go get a sparkling water and I'll reassess. Is this true hunger? Could I wait till my meal? And it's not to like starve yourself or to make yourself wait until that time and then get way too hungry and then end up binging at lunchtime or anything like that. It's really just using the clock to prompt more mindfulness. So it's like, okay, I'm giving myself these boundaries to eat in so that I am more aware when I'm reaching for food in between these boundaries, and it's a chance to check in with myself. What's going on? Am I upset? Did I go for a walk yet today? Did I drink water today? Maybe I'm just really thirsty. Because a lot of times we confuse our hunger hormones or hunger for thirst or thirst for hunger. So it's so like to give yourself, let me just go get water and then I'll assess again if I need a snack. So that's, I found that so helpful. Okay, so it's when and where, and now let's do the how. This is such a special one. So how are we eating? I know sometimes I fall into this, that I'm eating ravenously and not paying attention to my food, snacking, like eating a snack on like my computer and stuff. And so really what's helped so much is breaking those habits. And I'm actually proud of myself that I do a really good job at mealtime, like putting my computer away, putting phone away, really, like me and my boyfriend, we have grace before we eat. And just creating that pause. Like our meal times don't typically take that long, like maybe 5-10 minutes, maybe ideally 20 and longer. But during a work day, I understand if you don't have a ton of time, but to gift yourself even 5 minutes to put everything away, to go sit somewhere, maybe out of your office, so we can break that coupling of like eating in the office, and have downtime with your food. So when we're stressed out and we're eating in a distracted state, like our body's not even getting the same satiation signals. We're not producing, like we're in a stress state, we produce way less enzymes to digest our food, leading to low energy because our body's like, it takes so much more energy to try to digest things without enzymes. So then we feel fatigued and crash, or we get bloated or gassy. So we're just not breaking our food down well. We're lacking nutrients, essential nutrients, because we're not absorbing things as well. We end up eating more because we're distracted. We're not getting the satiation signals, so that often leads to overeating or wanting to eat more later because we didn't even have the experience of eating. So like just that desire for that, like it's very grounding to eat and to get like to gift yourself that time, and even to just like come back to appreciating your food. A lot of times slowing down with food helps us to be more conscious about what we're putting in our body. Oh wow, like I don't want to be eating Cheetos right now, when I'm like slowing down, eating them one by one, like aware of what I'm doing, versus working on the computer, eating them basically unconsciously, not even checking in how it's making me feel. Like by slowing down, oh, what am I eating right now? Is this nourishing my body? How do I feel after I eat? Oh, I end up not overeating because I'm actually letting my body get these satiation signals and I can tell when I'm full. One tool that's so profound too is the speed bump. This is one of the tools I learned when I did my health coaching about 8 years ago, and it was to literally divide your plate in half. This is really powerful when you're at like a dining, when you're dining out, and sometimes the portions are really big. Divide your plate in half. When you get to the halfway point, it's a prompt or a reminder to set your fork down, take some breaths, assess where you are on your hunger scale. If you've like from 0 to 10, 10 being so stuffed, like you've got to unbutton your pants, and we want to shoot for like a 7 or 8, but we're satiated from food, but we're not stuffed. And to check in, where am I at on my hunger scale? Do I really need to keep eating? And a lot of times we keep eating because other people are keeping eating, or we're conditioned to finish our plate, and then we feel miserable. And so what helped me was just like reminding myself, Ellie, you can always eat again. Like, take this to go. You can always eat again. It's worth, like, pausing. Go get a tea, get a club soda, get a decaf coffee, and while other people are eating, because you're gonna feel better. And if you want to eat that later, if you realize like, oh, you didn't need more food, then you'll have it. But like, is it really necessary right now? Maybe you are still hungry, and then you could divide that portion in half again, and then check in again. But if you're someone who struggles with overeating, this can be really helpful. Or if you just want to slow yourself down when you eat. And I think having a moment of grace, whether it doesn't have to be religious at all, it's just like a moment of appreciation for your food. It's so sweet. It's so heart opening. It's so grounding in itself, of a moment in the day where we love and appreciate all the people whose hands went into delivering this food to us, that we have this food to eat, that we've got, you know, this readily available food for us that's clean, that's like sometimes it's so easy to forget. how lucky we are. And so having those, that moment 3 times a day of appreciation is so, it's so beautiful, and you're so worth that time to slow down. And then after the meal, I like post-meal rituals, which is like slowing down and having, like I mentioned, the hot tea or the water or decaf coffee or something to help signal that the meal is done. Many of us are conditioned with like dessert being that. And so just finding some other ritual, like a post-meal ritual to really signify like, hey, this is done, but I don't have to like, sometimes I know I would keep eating because I just didn't want to go back to work yet. So I was like giving myself a buffer. Like, okay, you don't have to go back to work yet. You don't need to keep eating. You do like go enjoy this tea or go outside, go for a walk. Walking after a meal is really nice for your blood sugar. So that can be really perfect. So that's how. And just even like something that helps me is like, if I was watching myself on a movie screen eat, what would I want to see? Like, I'd want to see myself like nice and poised and calm and taking breaths before my meal and eating with intention. What I would not want to see is myself like a gargoyle in the night, like inhaling food. I always picture this gargoyle, like in the dark, shame. And I've been there. And so realize like, who am I being? This comes to the who. So who am I being? How am I eating when it comes to food? Who would I want to be? And that might take, like you can visualize somebody that you know that you, that mindfully eats that you could embody in that moment. Or just think about yourself, like confident self, loving self, someone who nourishes themselves with healthy food. Like, what are you embodying? Who are you being while you eat? That's a great prompt to have to check in with before a meal. Who am I being right now? Am I being the like a gluttonous and like inhaling food and even getting, not even judging yourself for that, like getting curious about that. Cause I know that was me. Still is sometimes, like, this, like, impulse, and a lot of times it's from childhood of, like, I was the youngest of four, battling for food, like, battling for sweets, or, like, always comparing, and just, like, and so when she comes online sometimes, it's recognizing, like, oh, okay, slow down, there's plenty of food here, like, really noticing if my nervous system gets into that excited state, because it will, and that's just, like, this conditioning, or this little girl who's scared she's not going to have enough. It's like there's plenty, and it's just giving yourself affirmations like that, like there's more than enough food. You don't need to rush, you don't have to hurry yourself, so you don't have to finish your plate, like noticing that conditioning, you don't have to finish your plate. And if you're somebody that, something that helped me too, just like the idea of waste, so ideally, yeah, we don't want to waste, absolutely, and so being able to take your stuff to go, or if that's kind of the reason, it's also like, If you've taken the plate and there is some waste, like, yes, maybe you give it your dog or give it to somebody, but also, like, by stuffing yourself, is that really helping anybody? The food's going to either go into your stomach and then you end up wasting your energy because you feel overstuffed and full, and, like, who are you serving if you're bloated and stuffed and tired? Versus if you stop eating, you feel great. You're able to serve the world by being just, like, present and loving and feel good. Like, that is so much service to the world. You eating healthy is literally community service, and you being just mindful, because we are so able to be such better humans when we feel good. And then that waste, it's all learning, like my portions, do I really need this amount? Or yeah, like taking it to go. But if you do end up throwing it away, that it's like that it's not worth making yourself feel bad with that reasoning of like, oh, well, it's a waste if I throw it out, so I should eat it. So just offering that. And maybe that resonates with you, maybe it doesn't. Okay, and then so we've got why, what, who, how, when, where. So we did all of them. So I hope this is so helpful. And just one meal at a time, you can start creating these like meal rituals, identify your triggers, and every day we're learning. And something I like to reiterate is that there's not like some finite place we get to when it's on the emotional eating journey or even sugar addiction journey. When we are able to break free from a lot of sugar, there is so much freedom in that. But depending on where we're at in life and life things happen and our buckets of stress fill up and we end up with an old coping mechanism or end up eating something, like that doesn't mean you failed and you're back at square one, because you've learned so much over your journey thus far. So it's all just data of like what was in place at that time that like where the system that I had set up that I was doing really well, where did it falter? what in life happened? Can I find compassion for myself? Like, I was going through something. COVID happened, but not even using that as like some excuse, but it's just like, were you very lonely, very stressed, very tired? And what could you do to help serve yourself in those ways versus berating yourself for having for breaking down and eating a cookie? Like, there's something going on there. You can just like pause and slow down and treat yourself with gentle curiosity to best set yourself up the next time it happens. Or what might you be needing more of? So this isn't a finite place where you just get to this place where you never emotionally eat again, because we do have to eat food, and it just takes continuous mindfulness practice. This is why meditation is so helpful, because we learn impulse control. We learn how to feel our feelings. We learn how to sit in an uncomfortable emotion. And yeah, so much of this is impulse control and being able to be in the present moment. But when we are overstressed or sick or something happens, it can be really easy to lose that kind of adaptability. We call this adaptation energy, which is when that gets so depleted, our ability to adapt to a situation, because maybe we didn't sleep the night before or something happened, then sometimes we fall back into passive least resistance. And that is often food, eating foods that don't serve us, or not being able to make a more conscious decision. But that was based on the environment and the circumstances at that moment. And so to empower yourself without guilting yourself, but finding compassion for the moment, and then realizing this is a new moment for you to show up for yourself. And that this is a continuous journey of ebb and flow. And that it gets easier with time as you continue practicing the skills, practicing mindfulness tools, practicing eating higher quality food more regularly, practicing regulating your blood sugar. But sometimes life happens, or we choose during holidays, vacations, that we choose to eat more things that may be not the best for us, but you know, it's worth it in those moments. And then we get back into the mindfulness, and we get back to the awareness and more conscious choices, or more healthier choices. So to ebb and flow with yourself, with the state that you're in, and to, yeah, just be gentle. And that I just hear a lot, and I know I've used to tell myself this, of like, oh, I failed, I'll never get this. And it just could be so demeaning and so shame filled, and it often leads to wanting to just eat more. But if we can realize that this isn't some like place you get to, but it's a continuous journey, and relapsing or emotionally eating or a binge, it's part of the process. So if you have a binge, to not let it make you derail or think that you fail. It's never a failure. It's all just data and learning, and every day we're getting better. Every day we're getting better. And I'm sending you so much love and light today, and mindful eating, and just one choice at a time, one meal at a time. You've got this. And if you'd like any support or accountability for your health goals, check out the group coaching that is starting March 2nd. And will be twice a month group coaching sessions that you just can join the subscription. And then the support and accountability between those sessions. And then if you'd like to work one-on-one with me, I have spots depending on when you are listening to this. There may be a spot available if that calls to you. If you want that more personalized accountability, more personalized nutrition and emotional eating counseling. So all that information will be in the show notes. I love you guys. Let me know how you like this podcast. Please reach out to me anytime on Instagram at mindfulbelly. If you ever want to join breathwork, I lead breathwork on Monday mornings at 8 a.m. live in Zoom. Also Tuesday evenings at 7 to 8 p.m. Central in Zoom. Breathwork is so powerful. Definitely try it if you haven't. And we'll catch you next time. Bye.